Praise the Lord. Now, I want to quickly go on to what I want to share with us today without wasting any time. I believe that God has heard our prayers, the request that we made of Him now, and that His Spirit is poured forth abundantly in our midst. Now, we have been speaking, as you are aware of, on this subject that I titled Destined to Reign. We have said many things, and we have established many foundations, or laid a solid foundation, I believe, and we are building upon that. Now, before I go on in today, which is the fifth day in that series, I want to make a few points for us to understand about life. Now, what I want to share briefly now is not exactly what I'm teaching upon, just something like an exhortation before I go into my teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? So listen to me very carefully. During the week, I was thinking, I was meditating, and something came to my mind. Not a new thought, it's just something that I knew very well, and I believe God just brought back as a light into my heart. And that's something I have taught us again and again here, and that's what I call the matter of grace. Now, I wasn't thinking about grace when this came, but I realized something that, you know, I've said before that grace means that God is working on your behalf while you are obeying simple instructions. In fact, that's a new definition I think I should give grace. So, I said that grace means that God is working on your behalf while you are obeying simple instructions. Grace means that God is working on your behalf, that is, the power of God is being released to produce effect in what God has commanded you to do. And this will come about as you obey simple instructions. For example, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," which means that anybody follow the people that heard that word, to become a successful fisher of men does not take any other thing than following Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Now, following Jesus is a very simple thing to do once your mind is made up to do it. I therefore realize again that many things, now let me say this before I go on to what I realize. Second thing I want us to remember is the fact that anytime God wants to do something on the earth, what He does is to send His word. Now, let me explain that again. Anytime God wants to do something, if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, there was something He said there which is very, very, very instructive to note. He said, comfort ye my people. He says, speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended. That is, if Jerusalem is going to experience the mercy of God, if Jerusalem is going to experience the work of God in it, the first thing Jerusalem must do is to hear that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Now, without taking too much time, if you go down to verse 9 in the same Isaiah chapter 40, he said, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now, what I want to bring out is this. God commanded that the voice of the good news should be lifted up very high, because the people that will experience the working of God must first hear the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so God said in Isaiah chapter 55, He said that, let me paraphrase verse 11. He says, so shall my word be when I want to get results. I send it forth and it will cause the earth to sprout and to increase. Now, what I'm saying is this. You are God's planting. You are the garden of the Lord. So when God wants to do something in your life to bring out a great work from inside you, what He does is to do what? Send the word to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then He said the word by itself will inside you produce results. That is, any man struggling, this summary of what I'm saying, is detaching himself from the word of God. You see, the most important, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, the most serious assignment of the devil on the earth is to distract people from the true word of God. Listen, he will give you activities if that's what you want. I always say this, he will give you plenty of activity and allow you to massage your conscience very well that you are working with God and you are doing the work of God and that you are doing things that's making God happy. As long as you are not giving attention to the word of God, he's not concerned. You know, I explained that when God wanted to speak to Elijah, and he told Elijah, go over there and I will speak to you. The first thing that happened was in front of God, at least when God was coming, there was a lot of noise. There was a breaking of rocks. There was a burning of there was a great burning. Fire was burning. There was a whirlwind. And Elijah noticed that in all of this, God was not there. That is, these are the things that are meant to distract people from hearing the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it was, he knew what he was looking for. He was a man of understanding. That what God wants is for me to hear his word. And once I have heard the word of God, results are inevitable. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I thought about it during the week, and I began to read my Bible again. Good enough, I have a very nice pocket-sized New American Standard Bible. And I bought this marker recently, pen size. So every time I go somewhere, when I went to the radio station the other day to go and negotiate our deal on this our broadcast coming up in another 2-3 weeks, this guy who I was supposed to see wasn't around. Man, that's not my problem. I just whipped out my small pocket Bible and began to read. And of course, Revelation, once I read like that, Revelation always abounds. You know, it will just be flowing ahead. You know, it will be flowing so fast that, it's an effort to catch up. All right? But now, I'm not reading because I want to preach. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I recognize that as long as I continue, in fact, the Spirit of God instructed me specifically that as long as you continue imbibing the word of God, you will not have to struggle about results outside. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody that's struggling is detached away from God's word. Listen, this the way God brings about results in your life is to constantly push the word into you. When God wants to do something, first he sends his word, and your responsibility is to encamp around that word to ensure that it fills your system. The way human beings get results is to struggle. Do you understand my point? The way God gets results is to send his word. And the people that have received the word will bear fruit. Do you follow what I'm saying? That the Bible says that the earth by itself produces. There is no effort on its part. Once the sower sows the seed, the word, what determines whether results will be or will not be is the kind of heart that the thing lands on, not the effort that the people put in. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, many years ago, I came to an understanding, and I told somebody that the commandments of God are not meant to be obeyed, they are meant to be believed. Now, when I said it, now, a lot of people hearing that, we say, what do you mean? Now, I said it not just to say something new and something to shock people. In fact, when I came to understand, I wasn't teaching anybody, I was studying. And suddenly it came to me that God never expected people to obey his commandment per se. He expected them to believe it. And later on, I heard Derek Prince say that when Moses was speaking, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to obey, to do all the thing that I'm commanding you today. What he said was that if you shall listening to the word, are you getting what I'm saying? You see, we have to get the sense that the Spirit is passing across very clearly. When God was speaking to Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. Now, he said, if you will meditate, all Joshua was supposed to do was to meditate in the word day and night. If he does that thing with a sincere heart, what will happen is that he will find out that his way will become prosperous and he will have good success. Now, we think that the word will teach him how to have good success. Listen, if a man is reading the 5 books of Moses, Genesis down to Deuteronomy, there are no tactical instructions for battle in there. Do you follow my point? Yet you are telling a commander of battle, of war, that he will have good success by reading it. What does that tell you? That the good success is not by following the instructions. No. It is that when the word fills you, the word always becomes flesh. I have explained this to us here in the past. That when the Bible said the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, it was not a new thing. It was not a new revelation that no people had never seen before. That was not the first time. Every time God sends his word, it becomes flesh. Do you follow what I'm saying? God will say, let there be, and there was. It's like that all the time. He said, let the sea bring forth living creatures, and There was. These living creatures came out. Let us make man in our image. Now, what I'm saying is that anytime God gives his word, it always translates to physical things. Do you understand the point I'm making? So that, you know, and that's why I always say, the major thing in life that you must never lose is your faith. And people who want to wreck your life, what they do is to take your faith away. Like a doctor will tell a mother that this child is brain damaged and will never be intelligent. And the woman wakes up every day and the father too saying that this child is brain damaged and will never be intelligent. So anytime the child stumbles and falls, he said it's because you were brain damaged during your birth, so you can never do anything well. Thereby affirming the prophecy of Satan upon that child. Do you get my point? But you see, am I saying that what they are saying is not correct? No, I'm saying there is superior wisdom. That's the point I'm making. That a parent that understands, all they will do is simple. Every day they will say, though the body be dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Every day they speak to that child like that, the word of God will begin to create new neurons in his brain. That's what we are saying. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It is not to give the child solid physiotherapy. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that as long as you speak the word to that child, there is no how the child will not recover fully. Because the word always becomes flesh. Are you getting my point? That is why, let me say, good enough, this is on record. People can refer to it later. None of my children will be average. It is not possible. Do you get my point? It is not possible. It is not possible. Before he can fail, it will be about 3 generations after me. No, get my point. Because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, the thing that God is birthing in me will overcome the world. These children are the extensions of the faith that I have. Believe me when I tell you, they were not conceived by flesh. They were conceived of the spirit. That is why I have never struggled to name a child. I know their names years before they are born. Are you getting the point I'm making? And as soon as you are born, I give you a name. The name is not something that sounds good. It must always be prophetic. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when I tell my son Akinyolu, it means God's warrior. That is, when I look at him, I shake my head for the devil. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the word will always become flesh. And anybody that is aspiring for success in life should realize where to put his effort. God said, why do you spend your energy for that which does not satisfy? That is, people wake up every morning running after hard labor. The Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early. Now, what I'm explaining is this. If the word of God is constantly entering somebody, look, I'm not saying that he will now sit in his bedroom and do nothing. No, what I'm saying that the word will wake him up in the morning and tell him where to go. Do you understand my point? That the word will tell him who to greet and who not to greet. Unconsciously, it just becomes a part of his being. For example, Jesus, you will hear that compassion moved him. That is, it was not his decision. It was the decision of compassion. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It was compassion that moved him to raise the dead son of the widow of 9. It was not his decision. It was what is going on. The Bible will tell you compassion moved him. That is, there is this element, there is this spiritual force called compassion that can move a man. And there are many spiritual forces like that. A man can wake up in the morning and desire will move him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the word of God will get into him and become desire. So he will wake up and say, this is what I want to do. And desire will push him till he becomes very successful. Now, what we do not understand, we will not write a book that the force of desire. That is not the point. What actually happened was that the word became desire. He did not recognize it directly as the word of God, but he knew that something inside me will not let me rest. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is why when Jesus got to the house of Lazarus with his sisters, Mary and Martha, and Martha was running about trying to please the Lord. What the Lord was saying is this. Come and sit down like Mary has sat down. Martha came to the Lord and said, Mary is sitting down. I am walking. What he was saying in effect is that your walk is a walk of the flesh. You have to first sit down. When you have sat down and you have tapped the word of eternal life, the word will by itself rise up as a walk inside you. So that next time you walk, it will be as a result of let me say, the world becoming something, maybe desire or compassion, and it's moving you to work. Do you understand my point? And at that point in time, you will find the grace of work, God working on your behalf. That is what I'm introducing. What I just want to exhort us with before I go into my teaching today is this. There is no substitute for giving attention to God's word, because that is how God will bring forth something great in your life. There is no substitute. I have heard people say that, I don't find them interesting. I said, food does not have to be interesting before I eat it. Injecting a child is not interesting, but every mother takes the child for immunization. When the child is febrile and the doctor says, this is what I am going to give to this child. Dangerous drugs, but because of the desire for well-being for that child, you subject your child to it, or you subject yourself to treatment. It is not a matter of, I like to do this. It is something I know I must do, because without it, there is no hope for my life. Do you get my point? So it's not like, I hear people to me say very silly things like, I don't enjoy Christian literature. They are boring. I don't like listening to a certain kind of preacher, because now if you tell me that when the man is speaking, it doesn't make sense to me, that he like the, I can't relate with him. There are a lot of preachers who preach, I don't know what they are saying. That some of them, I think they are jokers. Some of them, you know. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's a matter of what he's saying. If it contains life, then whether it's sweet or not is not the issue. I always give Derek Prince as an example. You need to love God to listen to Derek Prince, because the man doesn't excite you. In fact, he doesn't talk with half, a quarter of the force with which I speaking now use. He's an absolute gentleman. He said, may I suggest to you that what Paul was saying, said it occurred to, no, he talks as if he's having a nice discussion with the queen. You understand what I'm trying to say? He was an Englishman. But then, listening to and reading Derek Prince for me is not a matter of how nice he sounds. It's that every time the man speaks, something is released from his mouth into my spirit. There's a conduction of the Spirit of God by those words. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, so I just wanted to use that to charge us again this evening, that when God, the way God will produce results in your life is what he's doing right now, sending his word into your life. And the degree of attention you give to that word will determine the degree of results that you will get. It will determine the height to which your future will reach. It is not by struggles. What will happen will be a case of so the word becoming flesh and by itself producing results in your life. Now, that's just by way of exhortation. I would like to go on now to what we have been teaching, which is our series of discussions on destined to reign. Now, because I do not want to spend too much time today, I will quickly go on to what I want to say without spending so much time recapping the things that we said in the past. I have explained that, that when we're speaking, introducing these things, we have read many things, and we've discussed many things, and we have explained that Jesus will reign on this earth. Jesus will take over all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus will take over every sphere of this life. But I explained that it is not by himself. There's one scripture that came to my mind today, and I'm going to read it to us, which explains this even in better details. Now, so I have explained it, that what Jesus is doing is to empower us with his word, and then we will go out and take over kingdoms. Do you understand my point? And that's why he called us kings and lords. But that we will not take the authority that we have gotten by using the principles that he taught to us, by using the Spirit of Christ inside us, energizing us, the authority that we have gotten on the earth, the land that we have conquered, the places that we have become lords over, we will not take those things and subject them to the Lord Jesus. And when all of us do that, then he has indeed become the Lord over all the earth, because the kingdoms of the world, the Bible says, shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever. And we read from Revelation chapter 17 that he will overcome the beast because he's the Lord of lords and he's the King of kings. Now, that's the things those are among the things that we examined in details in the previous sessions. Now, there was something I started saying last time, which I want to conclude saying today. And that was when we read from Genesis chapter 1 that God commanded the man, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, he said, and subdue it. Now, we explained that to say as a believer that I don't want much in life is not exactly a humble statement. It's an ignorant statement. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It's like a soldier going to war saying that I don't want, all I want is just one gun. You understand? Just give me 5 rounds of ammunition, I am okay. It shows that he does not understand what he's coming up against. Do you get my point? I remember when I was very young, I read James Hadley Chase, and there was I can't remember which one, but I remember something that happened once. They were setting up one guy for some guys who were trying to murder him so that police would be able to catch them. But the guy said, man, he's not going to take any chances. They have to give him some arms to defend himself in case of, like we say, in case city. All right? And so they said, okay, what do you want? He said, please give me the biggest thing that you have. That is, don't give me a tiny gun. I want a big gun. Since I have to carry a sidearm, the biggest sidearm they had was a Magnum .45. He said, please give me that one. The one that when I shoot the guy, he will fly with a bullet. He said, that is the one I want. What am I saying? The guy recognized that it's a matter of life and death. So he didn't say, I don't want much in life, but I want the biggest that I can get, because that is what will determine the effect I will have upon the lives of my enemies. Do you understand my point? It's people who don't realize that it's a matter of battle that we are discussing here. That they are the ones that say that all I want is enough money to build a house, a small house, nice house. I'm not looking for a big house. What am I doing with a big house? Just 5 bedrooms. I mean, you know, after my children will grow and they will leave the house. And that's why visitors can't stay for 2 days in your house. You get jittery because all you have is 3 bedrooms. You understand my point? They don't consider it like that. And that I just want to send my children to school. And then, I mean, what more is a man looking for on the earth? You see, that those are the selfish people, actually. I think I told us a story that when I was reading a Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, one of the series, he said that his rich dad, who was a Christian, I found out, and remember when I was explaining then that the man was actually an extension of that man, because listen to this, when you talk about descendants of somebody, this is a principle I just want to teach by the side, it is not the person that gave birth to that person naturally, that the person gave birth to, that's just his descendant, no. Is the person that imbibes the spirit of that person and walks by the words that he spoke. Those are his descendants. That is why you are a descendant of Abraham, because you are of the faith of Abraham. Do you get my point? I always find it very, very ridiculous when preachers camp around this Israel matter. I don't want to go into it, but I feel like we have a very shallow understanding of the scriptures, that a nation will not prosper except it has the diplomatic relationship with Israel. Well, I don't want to go get into controversy, but I think that we have a very shallow understanding of the scriptures when we dwell on those things. Do you understand my point? Paul said it clearly. He has broken down the wall of partitioning. That is, you can never call one without calling the other. Do you understand my point? And he said the promises of God are only confirmed in Jesus Christ. But we make it, I was listening to one preacher the other day on TV. He said that people say that God, and that some people, when they are speaking, they say that God cannot fulfill his promise to Israel because Israel is not being faithful to God. He said, God does not need the faithfulness of Israel because God himself is faithful. I said, you are joking. Don't you read the Bible well? He always put those things with conditions. If you will do this, I will do that. Faithfulness means I uphold what I said. It's not as even if you deny me forever, I will still bless you. No, God doesn't do such things. Anyway, let me leave that and come back to what I'm saying. So I was explaining that the descendants of a man are the people that obey the words that he spoke and live according to his spirit. Do you understand my point? So now, this man was speaking. He said that his rich dad said that the poor people say that the rich men are greedy and they are selfish. He said, in actual fact, the people that are poor generally are the ones that are selfish and are greedy, because they only want one house for themselves. He said, but he has 1,000 apartments. So there are 1,000 people that have homes because he has 1,000 apartments. That if he had the same poverty mentality and said all he needed was one apartment, what he's saying is that the other 999 people can go to hell. Sleep on the streets, I don't care. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the commandment of God to Adam, to be fruitful and to multiply, it's to be able to do the work of God on the earth. Now, I remember mentioning some time ago that I listened to Kola Iwosu many years ago, and he said that God wanted to fill the earth with his influence as Adam will increase. When he said it, I listened to this around 1995. I didn't understand in detail what he was saying then. But many years after, when I gained understanding, I remembered that statement, and I know it to be absolutely true. Just like we are saying now, that what Jesus is doing is that as you increase, his own influence is increasing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if somebody says, I don't need great influence, what he's saying is that as far as the purpose of God in my life is concerned, I want it to be limited. Now, you have to get this point clear. This is not a matter of what I like. It is a matter of the assignment that I have on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, we are not talking now about what will make you feel good or what will make me feel good. We are saying, what is the purpose of God for our lives? Do we want to walk with God and do his purpose? If that is the case, what I like is not an issue. You see, one of the problems Kenneth Hagin used to say that Christians have is how to maintain a balance. That they tend to go, you know, there's a ridge they are supposed to walk on. There's a furrow on one on the left and one on the right. So they will come out from one valley, get on top of the hill, and then cross over to the other valley instead of trying to balance and walk nicely on the middle of the road. What am I saying? Christians forget something. The same way that we should fight against, how do I say this now? Covetousness, that's a good word. In the same manner, we must fight against a poverty mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you don't swing away from one extreme and go into the other extreme. As far as God is concerned, you are just as bad. In both cases, you know, because Jesus says something, the one that is not gathering with us, he is scattering. Are you getting my point? He said, he that is slothful in business, the Bible says, is brother to him that destroys. Do you get my point? If you are not actively building, that all you are doing is just relaxing and not destroying, the Bible says you are a brother to the man who is destroying. That is, the two of you are of the same father, the devil. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, a person who is not actively, with pressure, pushing forth the kingdom of God, is just like the person who is fighting against the kingdom. No, I was listening to a message during the week, and the man of God was explaining that, and I watched the things happen, you know, that, you know, George Bush won this second term election because of what they call evangelicals, that is, the born-again Christians. They were the ones that rose up and said that they want to scatter America for us. So they all rose up and they voted on moral issues. This was not a matter of war in Iraq or no war in Iraq. The issue is that you are not going to legalize gay marriage in the U.S. The issue is that you are going to stop this right that any woman has to abort any child without asking the father of the child, even if she was married. That we are going to put these things to an end. And since George Bush has made it his own agenda also, we will vote for him. Whatever else he does is not the issue. Now, this is what I'm coming to. In previous times, they all sat at home as if it didn't matter. Do you get my point? So that they, in effect, became brothers to the people that were destroyed. That's why I'm giving that illustration. I was reading, and I can't remember where exactly, but a secular magazine, not even a Christian magazine, and they were explaining what the gays do. That is, these people, they are not as numerous as you think. They are a great minority, you know what I'm going to say? That is, they are very, very few, but they are very, very forceful in their activities. Are you getting my point? Somebody was explaining that, you know, there was maybe two great things happened, you know, two newsworthy things. One of them involved assault on a gay man. And that generated maybe like 50 news articles and television reviews and all that. But there was another one that involved a matter of race, which was even more grievous than the other one and generated like 4 or 5. That is, they push that one forward. You see, we have been oppressed, we have been attacked, we are human beings. Now, the point I'm making is this. The people who are normal people, the normal people just keep quiet and do nothing. So they, in effect, became brothers to the people that are destroying. That's what God is saying. Are you getting the point I'm making in all of this? That is, so it is not a righteous thing for a man to say. It is not a humble thing for a woman to come and say, I don't want much in life. This is not a matter of what I want. It is a matter of responsibility. The purpose of God can only prosper on the earth as you and I rise up and want plenty. Are you getting what I'm making? It is as you and I rise up and desire to enlarge our coast and pray like Jabez, that God, all the land I want is anyone that touches my own. It is a righteous prayer. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, look, I'm not trying to buy up the whole earth, but anyone that touches mine, there's somebody that said, they asked the man, do you want to buy up every portion of land on the earth? He said, no, just the one that touches my own. So once it's next to mine, it's the next place. Now, the point I want to make in all of this is for us to understand that what we are dealing with is a matter of conflict. It is a matter of war that is going on constantly. Now, I want us to read a few scriptures, and then maybe we'll be able to use those things to tie all of this together. Don't forget, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 that the earth, that of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. So that if you say that you don't want increase, you are saying that as far as your life is concerned, the increase of Jesus' kingdom has come to an end. That is not a righteous thing. It is not a godly thing. You have to repent. Now, I want you to open your Bibles quickly to... Now, where do we start from? Daniel chapter 8. Now, before reading that, don't forget that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, upon this rock, that's after Peter answered his question, he said, I will build my church. Now, listen to this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's examine that again. When you're talking about prevailing, it means there is a conflict. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means there is a conflict if you're talking about prevailing. Now, notice this. He said, the gates of hell. Now, don't forget that Satan told Jesus something. He said that look at all the kingdoms of this world. It has become mine. It has been delivered to me, into my hands. And Jesus now said that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, what he was saying in effect is this. Like we have explained, gates shut people out. You understand my point? So he was saying that the church will constantly be advancing. What hell is trying to do is to prevent the advance of the church. And anybody that says that, what does a man want in life? Why are people going through all of this? What he's saying in effect is that he is not assaulting the gates of hell. Do you get the point I'm making? Look, you can enlarge your vision step by step, but it must constantly enlarge until the day you die or Jesus Christ comes back. Do you follow my point? You must never in life get to a point in which you feel like, now I have settled. Was it last time I explained it? That inflation came, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. That inflation is one of God's devices for the progress of mankind. Because without it, men will become complacent. We talked about what the Bible calls the prosperity of the fool, which my Bible uses the word the complacency, or American Standard Version says the careless ease of the fool shall destroy him. Now, we're going to read something about that in a moment. Now, he said that it's that prosperity that a man feels satisfied in that is his destruction. That is, he has acquired property worth $10 million. So if he says, so rest. Take your ease. You can enjoy yourself for the rest of your life. God says such people do not have a part anymore on this earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, there must be a constant increase of the kingdom of God through your hands. In all of this teaching, what I have been explaining is that if you are a servant of God, if you are one that carries the spirit of Christ, the kingdom of God, as far as you are concerned, is described by your kingdom. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, in your life, the kingdom of God is your kingdom. There is no kingdom of God beyond that. So the limit of your influence is the limit of God's kingdom as far as you are concerned. That's what I keep on emphasizing all of these things that we are saying. So I was saying something, what was it I was saying a while ago before I moved over to this kingdom in your personal life? Okay, I was saying that, so the complacency, when a man prospers and he settles, okay, I was talking about inflation and Nigerian situation. I remember I told you a story the other time that around the time SAP came, before SAP, you know, people still tell those stories and they feel happy saying it, that those days, once you get a job, you can build a house, you don't have to worry. But God was looking that these people are not productive. They are complacent in their prosperity. They tell stories about the good old days. They will just sit in our houses and just order something. you know, from London, and they just deliver it at your doorsteps. And you just pay £2. And they say it as if that's, oh, life was good that time. But God is looking at this. Can you see that you're a consumer? You are not a producer. That all you are doing is consuming. You are using the natural resources that have placed in the earth, and you are consuming it. That is why no nation on the earth, believe this, has become powerful that depends on natural resources. Check it. There is no oil producer that is a world power. There is none that derives its major wealth from oil that is a world power. There is none. There is none. The biggest producers of oil those days were Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia depends on America for security. And when America got angry with Iraq, they just ran them over in a day. When Japan became a world economic power, they had nothing apart from themselves. That is, it was from inside them they brought out things that were strong. So strong that they took over the whole earth. Economically speaking. Now, I'm bringing out the point here that people who just sit down depend on soul rest. We have so much oil laid up under the surface of the earth and natural gas, valued at about 30, no, maybe they say the volume is about 30 trillion cubic meters. Soul rest. You have so much natural gas laid up for the future. You don't have to work again. God said you can never prosper like that. So then in Nigeria, people sat down and were, you know, I still say it all the time. When I hear civil servants complain, I tell them right now in Nigeria, most civil servants don't deserve their pay. What you get is the mercy of God. And that is why I don't ever complain. That is, every time they give you a salary, generally, right now, things are changing. But up till today, at least, especially in previous times, when a civil servant collects a salary, for most people, it is just the mercy of God giving them sustenance. They wake. Look, I work in a university and a teaching hospital environment. I can tell you that if those places were my private properties, I will lay off more than 2/3 of the people that work there. Now, I don't begrudge people because of that. I just look at it that better appreciate that what you are getting is divine mercy. And listen, things are in seasons. There is a season of the wilderness in which you are in right now. You really don't walk, but manna comes. God said it will not continue like that forever. I will send you into a season where you have to sow and reap. Are you getting what I'm saying? So those days, what happened was that most people sat down and were consuming, not only deserving their pay, but they feel like it is just their right. It is just their right. If government does something, they get up and quake. But God looks like, better be thankful for what I'm giving you. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, people just sat down and then one day God said, okay, give them structural adjustment. And as soon as things became tight, men became productive. Teachers started extramural lessons. They began to teach. People who had free time went back to the plots of land behind their houses and began to farm upon it. People who had cars started doing part-time taxi driving. Look, these were issues of productivity. So that, look, God is not wicked. God just said, look, your brain will atrophy the way you are going. You very soon you will become not wiser than the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. I am teaching you wisdom. I am teaching you productivity, which is one of the things that are inside a man as a part of the God-given, let me say, the traits of God inside him. To be productive. Animals are not productive. They live by instinct. They just live to eat and perform a few functions in life and die. God said if you continue like that as a human being, you will soon become extinct. The only principle that sustains you on the earth is continual growth. Do you get my point? Anything you start must constantly grow for it to be sustained. And that's one thing we have to understand. The kingdom of God is the same thing. It must constantly advance. And Jesus has said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I hope you understand all these things I'm saying. And I hope I'm not talking too fast. All right. So I said you should open to where? The book of Daniel chapter 8. All right. Daniel chapter 8. Now, I want to read. Now, as I will not read the whole story. Now, Daniel was talking about the vision that he saw about a ram and a goat and their horns and all that. And how one made himself, is I boasting? But I'm not talking about eschatology now, but there's a principle here I want to derive from reading this portion from verse 22. It said, the broken horn and the four horns that arose in his place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. Now, he said, in the latter period of their rule, this is where, now look, notice from here, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. Notice that word, skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but notice the next line again, but not by his own power. Are you following this? Remember what we said earlier, that there are 10 kings that give their power and their authority to the beast. Remember that. Now, it's eventually the same thing he's saying here, that this guy would become mighty, but he doesn't have any power of himself. But notice what he started with. He said he's skilled in intrigue. He schemed until those people delivered their powers to his hands. Was it here we discussed it last time that there is nothing the devil has ever given anybody that God was not planning to give that person? What he does is that intrigue. Crafty, the Bible says, the serpent was most crafty of all the beasts of the field. He deceived Adam and Eve. No, he deceived Eve and corrupted Adam. That's a better way to express it. But don't let's digress too much. Let's go back to what I'm saying here. It said his power will be mighty and he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. He will magnify himself in his heart and will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes and he will be broken without human agency. The vision of the evenings and mornings which have been told is true, but keep the vision secret, for it pertains to many days in the future. Now, let me emphasize something here. He said in verse 25, he will destroy many while they are at ease. Let me quickly explain that before I go on to the main thing I want to say. If you read the J.N. Darby's translation, anybody that has that should read it. He said that what Darby rendered is that he will destroy many because of prosperity. If you have J.N. Darby, in fact, remember when we were reading from Proverbs chapter 1 the last time, when we said that the prosperity of fools, you know, we said that American Standard Version said that the careless ease of fools. Here it says that he will destroy many while they are at ease. I believe it's the same word that they are using there. That is often very difficult to place one above the other while translating it. But G.N. Darby said that he will destroy many because, or is it by reason of prosperity? What he's saying here is this. He will cause them to be complacent because of the satisfaction they have in the little things that he has given them. Are you getting my point? And that would be the means by which he will destroy them. Are you following that? Now let me just explain something here. He said, verse 25, the earlier part of 25. He said, through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. Now, what I want to emphasize here is this. Notice that the man that has influence, all right, has power to cause what he believes in to succeed. I hope you are getting what I'm saying.